It's Tuesday, February 24, 2026, and I want you to try a little experiment with me before we get started today.
Okay, boom.
Just pull out your phone or your smart glasses or whatever device you're using to interface with the web right now and search for a local plumber.
A local plumber
Okay.
doing it now.
Or a dentist or a crawfish spot, anything local.
Got it. I'm looking at it.
Now tell me what you see. Do you see a list of 10 blue links that you have to click through and investigate one by one?
No, not anymore.
Right.
I see an answer, just a summary block and maybe a map.
A map, a rating.
Yeah, rating and a book now button. I actually don't see a traditional website at all, unless I scroll way, way down past all the AI generated stuff.
Exactly. You see the answer, you don't see the source. And that shift, that massive move from search to answer, it has completely broken the traditional marketing model.
It really has. Because think about it, if the user never actually visits your website, how do you convince them to buy from you?
How do you even prove you exist?
Right, it's a huge problem.
And that is the exact existential crisis we are unpacking in today's deep dive. We have this really fascinating strategic breakdown in front of us.
Really
And it's
fascinating.
titled Scaling Acadiana. It's by Eric Smith, who is the CEO of 337 Media.
Based down in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Right, Lafayette. And while that title sounds hyperlocal and very specific to that region, what Smith is actually outlining here is essentially a survival manual for the post-website era everywhere.
I totally agree. It reads like a blueprint for navigating this whole zero-click internet we find ourselves in now.
The hook of his whole argument is pretty stark. He says that simply having a website is no longer enough. The core premise is that advertising, in that traditional sense of just buying eyeballs, is dead.
Dead and gone. You can't just buy attention in the 2026 landscape.
No, you have to build what he calls a proprietary ecosystem of trust, which brings us to our mission today. We are going to unpack how local businesses are required to build this ecosystem and why marketing has shifted from running ads to becoming a verified local authority.
And I'll be honest, when you first hear the phrase ecosystem of trust, it sounds a bit like, I don't know, marketing buzzword soup.
It really does, very corporate speak.
Right, but when you actually dig into the technical side of what he's saying is not fluffy at all. He is
No.
talking about hard data architecture.
He really is. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. Segment one, defining digital omnipresence. Because when I hear the word omnipresence, I immediately have these awful flashbacks to like 2018.
Oh yeah, the hustle culture days.
Exactly. I think of those gurus yelling at me to post 50 times a day on TikTok and LinkedIn and X and everywhere else. Is that what Smith is advocating here?
No, not at all.
Just spamming every channel.
No, and I think that's a super critical distinction we need to make right out of the gate.
Okay.
If you try to just be everywhere in 2026, you're just going to be noise. And the algorithms are explicitly designed to filter out noise now.
Right.
So Smith's definition of digital omnipresence isn't about width. It's not about being on every single platform. It's about depth. It's about anchoring.
Anchor. Okay, so anchoring to what
The
specifically?
very specific geography. Throughout the source material, he keeps hammering on this idea of the Lafayette Karen Crow corridor and the 337 area code.
That specific region.
Yes. His argument is that the internet has just become so vast and so polluted with AI-generated sludge and synthetic content that the engines need something real.
Like a physical grounding.
Exactly. The only signal of value left for a search engine is whether you are physically there. Are you a real entity occupying physical space?
So you're saying the more global and massive the internet gets, the more hyper-local your trust signals actually need to be?
Precisely. Just think about it from the AI's perspective for a second.
Okay.
If I am standing in Lafayette and I ask my AI assistant for a local service, the AI's primary filter isn't looking for who has the prettiest website or the best SEO keywords anymore.
Right, because it already knows the answer to those.
It's filtering for who is geographically relevant and verified. Smith argues that traditional advertising fails now because it's totally untethered. It just floats in the
It's
cloud.
just out there.
Yeah. And to survive 2026, you have to prove you are inextricably linked to the dirt and the concrete of that specific 337 area code.
It's really interesting that this very grounded perspective is coming from Eric Smith, because I was looking at his bio in our notes, and he is not your typical tech bro growth hacker type.
Not at all. He actually comes from the creative side of business originally.
Right. And he's surprisingly open about his past in this document. He talks about learning from his business failures, hitting walls, having to figure out time management the hard way.
Which I think honestly adds a ton of credibility to this whole strategy.
I agree.
This doesn't feel like some sterile theory cooked up in a Silicon Valley lab. It feels like a strategy developed by a guy who tried doing it the old way, watched it fail, and realized the terrain has entirely changed.
Right. He realized we need a new map.
Exactly. A completely new map.
And that map relies really heavily on technology that I think most local business owners probably have never even heard of. Which brings us to segment two, the AI revolution.
The new SEO.
Yes. And this is where I am definitely going to need you to translate for me.
I will do my absolute best.
So the text mentions this concept of diamond level structured data.
Right.
Now, be totally honest with me. Diamond level. Is that just a fancy agency way of saying the premium pricing package? Or is there actual heavy tech behind that label?
Well, diamond level is definitely a proprietary branding term for 337 Media, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the underlying technology he is talking about is universal, and it is absolutely critical today. We are talking about schema markup.
Okay, schema markup. Break that down for you and me. What does that actually mean in practice?
Imagine you have a local business website. To a human user, it looks great. It's a page with nice text and some pictures of your team.
Right, very welcoming.
But to a large language model or an AI search crawler, it's just a giant blob of unstructured code. It essentially has to guess what the page is actually about.
Oh, I see.
It's looking at it and thinking, is this a pizza place? Or is it a blogger writing a review about a pizza place? Or is it just a recipe for making pizza at home?
And if the AI has to guess...
It might hallucinate. We have all seen AI just completely make things up.
Oh, absolutely.
It might tell a user that you're open on Sundays when you're actually closed. It might say you sell sushi when your restaurant only serves tacos.
That would be a disaster for a local business.
Total disaster. So what diamond level structured data actually is, it's essentially a highly technical machine-readable fact sheet that sits invisible on the back end of your website's code.
Like a hidden ID card.
Exactly like an ID card. It's usually written in a language called JSON-LD, and it explicitly tells the AI exactly who you are.
Yeah.
It says, I am an entity. My type is local business. My legal name is this. My exact latitude and longitude coordinates are this. My price range is this.
So you aren't leaving a single thing to interpretation. You are literally handing the AI its own homework answer key.
You're handing it the answers on a silver platter. You are effectively speaking the robot's native language. Smith's whole argument here is that in 2026, you cannot rely on an AI to just read your website the way a human would. You have to feed it raw, structured data.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. But there is a second part to this AI strategy that deals with the actual words on the page. The stuff humans do see. The source material calls this chunkable content.
Yes, chunkable content. This is the part where a lot of traditional copywriters start getting really nervous.
I can imagine. I mean, chunkable does not sound very poetic.
No, it's not meant to be poetic at all. It is meant to be extracted.
Distracted.
See, natural language processing works by identifying patterns and relationships between different entities in a text.
Okay.
So if you write this beautiful 2,000-word flowing narrative on your homepage about the rich history of your plumbing business and how your grandfather started it back in 1950.
The AI just gets bored.
The AI gets confused. It has to burn a ton of processing power trying to extract the actual answer to the user's very simple question.
Right.
Which is usually just, do you fix broken water heaters?
So chunkable content is really just about formatting.
It is entirely about structuring your writing. You break it into distinct lists, bullet points, clear headers, and very direct question and answer formats.
Making it easy to digest.
You are literally breaking the information down into discrete chunks that an AI model can instantly grab and serve up in that summary block we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
So the big shift here is that we are no longer really writing for the human customer. We are writing for the AI gatekeeper. And we're just hoping the gatekeeper decides to credit us as the primary source and recommend us to the human.
That is the harsh reality of digital marketing right now. The AI is the broker. And if you don't format your reality in a way that the broker immediately understands, if you aren't chunkable, you simply don't get recommended. You don't get the credit.
I have to say, it feels a little dystopian, doesn't it? We are literally reshaping human language to please a machine.
It is a bit dystopian, yeah. But look at it from the other side, too. It forces clarity. It forces business owners to stop being vague and start being highly specific.
I guess that's fair.
And that demand for specificity is exactly what leads us to segment three, physical anchoring.
Yes, physical anchoring. Now, this part of the strategy genuinely surprised me, because usually when people start talking about digital marketing, they are talking about escaping the physical world.
Right, the whole digital nomad thing.
Exactly. We're talking about the cloud, remote work, doing business everywhere all at once. But 337 Media is saying the exact opposite here. They are saying your website must be physically anchored.
And this goes right back to the trust issue we mentioned. Think about how incredibly easy it is to fake a digital presence today.
Oh, it's terrifyingly easy. I could literally go home tonight, use an AI image generator to make 50 photos of a fake corporate office, use ChatGPT to write a bunch of fake glowing testimonials, and launch a fully functional website for a law firm that simply does not exist.
And you could probably get it to rank on search for a few days before anyone caught on to the scam.
Wow.
The search engines know this is happening. They're terrified of serving scams to their users because it ruins their own product.
So how do they verify that you're actually a real business?
They check if you actually occupy physical space.
Correct. Smith talks about integrating verified local addresses and mapping data directly into the deep architecture of the site.
So this is more than just typing your address at the bottom of the page.
Much more. This isn't just dropping 123 Main Street in the footer and calling it a day. It's about embedding the exact map coordinates, linking the site directly to the Google Business profile, and ensuring that every single piece of data across the entire web perfectly matches that exact physical location.
It's like creating a digital twin of the actual physical building. Digital twin. I love that term.
Sure.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And if your digital twin doesn't match the physical reality perfectly, the AI drops your trust score.
And if the trust score drops, you just vanish from the AI overview entirely.
You become a ghost.
Yeah.
So to be successful online in, say, the Lafayette-Carencro corridor, you have to mathematically prove to a machine that you are actually standing in a Lafayette-Carencro corridor.
You have to prove you are a neighbor, not just a cloud entity.
Exactly.
Which leads us perfectly into the fourth pillar. And I think this is arguably the most fascinating part of the entire document. Segment four, the ecosystem of trust.
This is where it gets really interesting.
Because this is where we start seeing some very old school names popping up in the middle of a highly technical AI strategy.
Right, this is Smith's whole trust over traffic concept.
And they talk a lot about social media in this section, but they really aren't talking about trying to go viral or getting millions of views.
No, 337 Media actually seems pretty dismissive of those vanity metrics. They view social media purely as a bridge.
A bridge.
Yeah, it's about bridging the gap between your digital content and the actual physical community. And the way they execute that is through very strategic local partnerships.
They mentioned 337 Magazine specifically in the text.
Which makes total logical sense. If your goal is to signal to an AI that you are the premium authority in the 337 area code, getting a backlink and a featured article from a publication literally named 337 Magazine is probably the strongest possible signal you can send.
It creates what they call a hyperlocal authority signal, something a national competitor just cannot replicate.
Exactly. A company in New York can't just buy a feature in a Lafayette community magazine easily, but it goes way deeper than just local media. Look at the list of regional authority hubs they integrate with.
I have that list right here. So they integrate with the BBB serving Acadiana, which the document notes was established in 1975.
Right.
They list one Acadiana with a verified listing. The municipal hubs like the Broussard Chamber of Commerce and the Youngsville Chamber of Commerce. They even list capital region support through the Baton Rouge Area Chamber.
Now, just think about the sheer irony of this for a second. We are sitting here having a deep dive discussion about the bleeding edge of artificial intelligence, large language models, and semantic data structures.
Yeah.
And the ultimate secret weapon to winning that high-tech game is joining your local chamber of commerce.
It honestly feels completely backwards.
It feels backwards, but when you really think about it, it is perfectly logical. In a world where AI can generate infinite text, infinite images, infinite code, what is the one thing it absolutely cannot generate?
Real history. Real human relationship.
Verification. It cannot generate a legitimate seal of approval from a physical brick-and-mortar organization that has been operating since 1975.
Right.
If the Youngsville Chamber of Commerce physically lists you as a dues-paying member on their verified domain, that is a data point anchored by real humans. And the AI absolutely craves that human verification because it can't synthesize it.
So essentially, the local chamber of commerce has inadvertently become a human verification farm for AI search engines.
That is a wildly cynical way to put it. But yes,
yeah.
It anchors the brand. It creates a massive defensive moat. A massive national competitor can buy all the ads they want, but they cannot fake a 20-year operational history with the local Better Business Bureau.
It really emphasizes the core point here. You cannot just be a cloud business anymore. You have to be deeply woven into the civic fabric of your region.
Ecosystem of authority. That is the exact phrase Smith uses. You aren't just a standalone business anymore. You have to become a verified node in the local network.
Now, before we get too carried away thinking this is some kind of flawless magic bullet we have to touch on segment 5, the reality check.
Yes, the disclaimer.
Because I noticed a very prominent disclaimer explicitly written into the source material.
And frankly, I am really glad it's in there. Because if this strategy document promised guaranteed number one rankings for everyone, I would have thrown it straight in the trash.
Right. It explicitly says, and I quote, "No specific performance or ranking position is guaranteed."
Even with diamond-level structured data on your site, even with your local chamber membership, even with perfectly chunkable content.
But why is that? I think a listener might wonder, if you follow this incredibly detailed recipe, shouldn't you automatically get the cake?
Because the algorithm itself is a complete black box, and it is constantly changing.
Changing the rules.
Exactly. 337 Media rightly notes that results are always influenced by multiple factors entirely outside of the agency's control. Your local competitors might suddenly change their strategies. User behavior in Lafayette might shift overnight. Or Google might just roll out a massive update to its core AI logic.
So it's not a digital vending machine. You don't just put your structured data coin in and get a new customer out.
It is probability management. That is really how I view this entire concept. This whole strategy, the omnipresence, the structured data, the physical anchoring, it is all about stacking the digital deck in your favor.
Right.
You are systematically removing every single excuse the AI might possibly have to ignore you.
You're clearing the runway, so to speak.
You're clearing the runway perfectly. But you still can't control the weather.
I think that is a really healthy perspective for any business owner listening to this to adopt. It moves digital marketing away from this idea of magic tricks and hacks and moves it into the realm of basic business hygiene.
Digital hygiene, yes.
Like, you don't brush your teeth because it mathematically guarantees you will never, ever have a health issue. You do it because if you don't, you definitely will have an issue.
That is the perfect analogy. This strategy is baseline digital hygiene for 2026.
So let's try to synthesize all of this for the listener. We have covered a lot of highly technical ground today. If we had to boil this Scaling Acadiana strategy down to its absolute essentials, what are the three main pillars?
Okay, pillar one is the AI revolution. You have to stop treating SEO like it's a 2010 keyword game.
Right.
It is a data game now.
Right.
You need diamond level structured data, the schema markup, to clearly define your identity to the machines. And you need to write chunkable content so the AI can easily extract your answers.
Okay, pillar two.
Pillar two is physical anchoring. Your digital presence must be a flawless mirror of your physical reality. You need verified local addresses and precise map data integrated directly into your site architecture to prove you aren't a digital ghost or a scam. You have to completely own your specific geography.
The Lafayette Carancro corridor, wherever your business happens to be.
Exactly.
And the third pillar.
The third is the ecosystem of trust. You have to build a digital defensive moat using old school, real world authority.
The Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. Partner with the local magazines, join the chambers, get verified by the BBB. You have to use the physical community to validate your digital existence. Trust over traffic.
It is a really comprehensive approach. And while Eric Smith is clearly writing this specifically for the business owners of the Acadiana region, I think the underlying principles are completely universal.
Oh, absolutely universal. Whether you are running a shop in Lafayette, Louisiana, or London, England, the AI models work the exact same way.
Right.
The AI is perpetually hungry for trust signals, and it is perpetually hungry for clean, structured data.
It really changes how you look at a simple everyday web search now. Just doing that experiment at the start of the show, you realize how much invisible architecture is operating under the hood just to decide who gets that top summary spot.
It really is a quiet war for verification going on every time you search.
A war for verification. I like that phrasing. But you know, there is one thing that has been nagging at me throughout this whole deep dive.
What's that?
Well, we talked so much about chunkable content. We talked about formatting our entire reality into these machine-readable fact sheets,
right.
we are essentially stripping away all the flowery prose, the nuance, the beautiful messiness of human language, just to make it easier for a computer to categorize us.
We are standardizing ourselves for the algorithm.
Exactly, standardizing ourselves. So my final provocative thought for you to take away today is this. In this frantic race to be perfectly omnipresent and verified in 2026, what happens to all the parts of local culture that simply cannot be turned into chunkable data?
Wow, that is a really heavy question.
Think about it. What happens to the specific vibe of a local dive bar? Or the smell of a real crawfish boil? Or the unique way people in Lafayette actually talk to each other? If the AI cannot read it, if it cannot be neatly formatted into a JSON-LD schema markup code, does it essentially cease to exist in the digital consciousness?
If it's not in the data, is it even real to the modern consumer? That is the danger here. We might optimize the actual soul right out of our local businesses.
And that is definitely something to chew on while you are formatting your chunkable bullet points today.
Indeed it is.
Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us into the world of digital omnipresence and the future of local business.
The curious out there.
We will see you on the next one.